Hello, talofa, kia ora, g'day, and welcome to the Mojo Sports NRL Show, everyone. I'm your host, Lainey Arrowsmith, and wherever you are, in the car, at home, on a walk, or if you're just overseas tuning in, thank you so much. Joining me on the panel for another episode to share our hot takes, tipping mistakes, and opinions that aren't fake, welcome Georgie Sumter and Lachlan McIntyre. How are you both, and how were your weekends of football?
Yama, how good was the footy? It was a cracking round. Some great games. Loved it. What about you, Lachie?
Yeah, amazing. As you said, Georgie, not as busy for me this weekend, so I got to just sit down and enjoy the footy. So it was great. Got out to my first live game of the year as well, or NRL game of the year at Penrith. And yeah, great experience and really loved it. What about you, Lainey?
Yeah, mine was all right. A bit of rain around Sydney, so a lot of it was actually spent inside. Unfortunately, was a bit ill for half of it, but it actually gave me a good opportunity to catch up on a few of the matches. Lachlan, I recall you last week saying that you were going to head out to watch the Penrith versus Eels game out there with your, I think it was your billets that you've got at your place. How did that go?
Yeah, it was great. German exchange students over here, and they loved it out at Penrith, their first rugby league game. Yeah, a really physical game, I'd say. I think both teams weren't at their best, I think it's fair to say. But I did love the atmosphere at Penrith. I haven't been to that stadium in quite a while, and obviously a very different experience when it's their first home game after, you know, securing that three-peat. So very cool experience, and I'm glad I could share that with, you know, people from the other side of the world.
Did you convert them to rugby league fans then?
Tried my best. Unfortunately, they took a bit more of a liking to AFL, I think, just by how different it is from anything they'd ever seen. Yeah, it was a shame we couldn't get them to a Tigers game, actually, but that's okay. If they had stayed 1 week longer, they could have come this Saturday.
Oh, so true. So true. Well, thank you both. So on the show today, we'll dig into our best and worst performances from the last weekend of play, dip our toe into the rather deep pool of rugby league news that has come out of the weekend of play and in the past 24 hours. But first of all, let's dig into our round two tips and see how we went. Okay, Georgie, with some envy, I'm looking to start following your tipping if this continues. I'm not sure what tea leaves you're reading for your tips. Is it PG tips? I don't know. Send them down our way. Well done on achieving a nearly perfect tipping round. Do you think this week you will make a perfect tipping round?
Who knows? I mean, why aren't I doing the same in sports bet tipping? Because I only got three there. Entirely not sure. It's incredible. I don't think I've done this well in tipping competition ever.
Lachlan, you got 5 out of 8 tips, certainly much better than my paltry 2 out of 8. What did you have to say about your performance of your tips? I know it's really hard to pick at this sort of early round. Do you think this next round you're going to come home with a better score? I hope to.
Hopefully, got to keep that upward trend going. Got to chase down Georgie because she's absolutely flying out of the blocks. But yeah, personally, I think pretty happy with the 5 out of 8, to be honest. I'll take anything over 50% at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, look, a reflection on round two, the home advantage. Well, some teams probably self-correcting after their round one results, but every home team managed to end with a victory. Only a handful of big scores amongst those matches from those winning teams, but let's talk about best team or player for the round. What were your thoughts? I'll start with you, Lachlan.
Yeah, so for me, best team, I'm going to go the Dolphins. Perhaps not for the best team performance, but I think for me, they were the team that most people weren't expecting to come out with a performance like that. So I guess the surprise positive team, if you will, the Dolphins. And that's a bit ironic because last week I put the Dragons as the best, and now this was off the back of their win over the Dragons, of course, 38-0. That hat-trick to the Hammer, very impressive. He's really continuing to find his feet at the Dolphins as that club continues to build. And yeah, their second half performance was just sublime. They'll see if he can bring that into the first half too and make it a full 80 minutes, but really can't really critique a 38-0 win. So what were you thinking, Georgie?
Yeah, mate, I had the same, had the Dolphins with the Hammer. If they are consistent like that all the way, they can climb up the ladder. What a disappointing game from the Dragons after, you know, the hype of them, talking them up for the last couple of weeks, and then that happens. I don't know what to say about them. I paused the game and actually watched it later, went and saw the score, and then I was like, get out. How did they get to this? It was really great. And I saw this afternoon on the on Fox that Penn Guy Jr. was their special guest up there at the Dolphins. So, and then nobody wanted to comment on that, what he was doing there. But I think we all know that he wants to come back to league, and that's probably where he's going to go.
Yeah, TPJ, hey? We shall see where he ends up. Interesting. Look, like both of you, I actually had the Dolphins as the probably the best team for the round. I actually did single out a player. It was actually Selwyn Cobber from the Broncos. I thought he had an outstanding match in that match. Look, I would have said the Broncos played great, but I did kind of expect them to play great. But I thought Selwyn was just, yeah, just showing that position is great for him. Against the Rabbitohs too. Yeah. Anyway, we'll probably delve into that as we talk about the rest of our performances over the round. But yes, Selwyn Cobber, absolutely agree with you guys about the Dolphins. It's certainly a great improvement from last week. So, Dolphins are still in my top eight. I'm looking to see where they end up for the rest of the season. And shame on us who were probably thinking that was it for the Dolphins. But good on them for coming back. I do feel though the Dolphins is that team that would once we sort of get our hopes up. Injuries start to sort of follow them, and our minds start changing. Who knows? Again, I might still be eating that humble pie later on in the season with the with that top eight pick I had. All right, so we've talked about our bests. So worst or underwhelming team, player for the round, Georgie, I'll go with you first.
Well, it was a toss-up between Lachlan's Tigers and the Dragons. The Dragons couldn't get it together, and I think it's still there's just something going on at the Tigers that I just don't know what it could be. They could string it together for a little bit, but there's just they can't keep it together. So out of those two teams, it was a bit of a toss-up. I'd like to see the Tigers actually get it together and get a win for you. Yeah, I kind of feel a bit sorry for them after last year and now how they're playing again this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, for me it was pretty similar. I did go to the Dragons, and that made me feel a bit silly after seeing the Frasers last week. Took that personally. 38-0 is that'd be rough for Dragons fans, especially after last week. That does give me a bit of worry about the Titans after last week's performance against the Dragons. But yeah, Dragons for me was the worst performing team. It'd be interesting to see how they bounce back from that. Obviously, big losses happen in a year. Just because it's come early, it gives them a chance to, fix their mistakes. So hopefully, I can see the positives and come out of that and get better from it. What were you thinking, Lane?
Well, I did actually say that when the Dragons go north, they don't play very well. I just didn't think that it only had to be up to bloody Redcliffe for that to happen. Usually it's when they go further north. However, the team that I probably nominated, so I had two. Look, Bulldogs, I thought, for a team of professionals that they are, they seem to be making a lot of rookie errors still. I get it. They're still, trying to work it out. I don't know. These guys are all pros. They've been playing a while, maybe not that long together, but the stats of their match, from an amateur's perspective, you'll still pick up that, defense needs to sharpen up, and some of the footy basics with regard to discipline. I'm not saying the Sharks were all clean and great themselves, but I just kind of felt like the Bulldogs, have a lot to. A lot of fan expectation, and there's a lot of commentary about their performance. I actually thought they would have brought more to that match. And then the other team I had were the Roosters. Now, Georgie, you sort of touched on last week that you thought something's a bit off at the Roosters. They were a little bit underwhelming to me. I think I expected more from them at that match. It was also just kind of strange seeing Dom Young playing. Maybe I was just a bit forgetful here, but they named him to, on the team. He turned up, he played, but like there were all these concerning reports about, an injury that was going to keep him out for a few rounds. I don't know. But when you have a look at the stats, it wasn't all that impressive from the Roosters, but credit to Manly for playing a great game. Also, Luke Brooks, I thought, fantastic match from him too. I know we were talking about how he was a bit quiet. We thought that he might sort of end up being a bit quiet, as the season goes on. But I feel like he's just sort of building on that. He's becoming a little bit more confident and a lot more visible in a few plays. There was one particular play that I think everyone's been talking about for the last, 24 hours. I think I'd like to forget it because that's the reason why the Warriors lost. And I had tipped the Warriors to win that match with the Storm. Xavier Coates, that final try. It actually felt like almost grand final hurt a little bit for me after the energy of that match. And I think I was just hoping that the Warriors would pull out the win. I was shouting at the television. Alas, not to be so. Right, who wants to start talking first about how great Xavier Coates is?
Yeah, well, why not? Everyone's pretty much said everything. I think it's pretty superhuman from him, obviously, but also just like the stage of the game to be pulling that out with 16 seconds to go. And also his body language afterwards, he got straight up and he knew he scored that try. And I don't know how you're able to slow things down enough while you're doing that to know that you scored that try. Like, it's just very impressive, and it must take a heap of practice. And to be able to do that with so many eyes on you in such a high pressure situation, it's impressive. It's very impressive. Anything to add to that, Georgie?
Yeah, well, he has humbled a lot going to Melbourne because he was a young rooster at Brisbane, and he would have been very cocky and arrogant about getting that try if he played there. So I'll give it to him. He was very humble about it, but as he said, he practices that every day. So he should get it. He should be able to do it if he practices that much. But to pull it off when you think the Warriors were home like that. As a Warriors fan, Lainey, it must have stung a little because they played so well, the Warriors. It was a really good game.
Yeah,
So,
I mean, I'm not gonna say we were robbed, because that's just mean. We weren't. I mean, they
yeah.
played well. I just felt sad that they got lost. But I think, look, if I was to try and project as to what Dallin Watene-Zelezniak was thinking after he scored a similar try earlier in the match, and it's on his wing, and then to have that done to him, it's kind of like getting dunked on in NBA. Yeah, I think he would have felt it. And I remember seeing him get up from that and thinking, what, he just did my move on me to win the game? Like, he would have been a little bit stunned. Poor Dallin. But also, look, credit to Storm. They didn't play exactly the best game. There were so many errors coming out of that match. I did actually think that the Warriors had it in the bag. Right. Can't get over it. Look, I'm over it. I'm over it. Let's move on. Well, congratulations to Xavier Coates. I think that's probably the try of the season. I'm interested to see what other try actually tops that. Actually, side question. In your memory of watching the game, is there a better try? Or is there a try that is quite indelible in your memory that that was the try that you'll remember forever?
Oh, goodness. There's been a lot of great tries. I can't pick one. You see the highlight reels. I get more excited about seeing the big hit reels than tries. So I remember the big hits because I think it's fantastic. But yeah, it's just I think how the media have taken it. I mean, Casey Badger's face, like she was stunned just as much behind him that he actually pulled that off. But I think he set a little benchmark now, and it's probably a challenge for all wingers to see who can outdo him. What do you think? What do you think, Lachlan?
Yeah, absolutely. He set a benchmark, gee. Set like a high jump bar as well. I think for me, there are a lot of team tries that might top it. Like, the ones that are just like bouncing around like four kicks and everything's gone to chaos. I think I love seeing those tries, but in terms of an individual effort from a winger like that, I can't remember anything of the sort. When we got rid of the corner post rule, when was that? Like over a decade ago now. I was very young, by the way. I don't remember that. So that was when we started seeing those tries, and I think it's definitely one of the best things the game has done, at least in my memory.
I still actually think that probably one of the best tries I'd ever seen from an individual is Israel Folau's try in Origin. I don't know if you remember, he basically somersaulted, and just before like going out, he managed, because he was upside down, he managed to actually get the ball in his hands and actually ground the ball and score the try. If you get a chance to watch it, or you haven't seen it, it's pretty full on. Yeah, he was basically hanging. Yeah, almost upside down. Yeah, gosh. All right. Let's talk about some of the news stories of the week. Well, it's not even the week. It's only a couple of days. Look, it's Monday night. There was a lot that happened just even over the weekend. Look, I'm going to start with you, Georgie, to get your thoughts about this. So we know Adam Reynolds, he's the captain of the Broncos. He recently had some scans revealing that he's got an aggravated knee injury from round one. He played through that pain on Thursday evening, still managing to get that win over South Sydney. So he's got a low-grade MCL strain. I'm just worried. Are you worried about this for the Broncos in this season? I mean, they're your team.
Not in the slightest. We're only in round, going into round three. So he's got plenty of time to recover from this. It's better than happening round 22, 23, and being out, or more serious injury that would have him out for a lot longer. Yeah, it's only minor. He'll get over this. Physio, doctors. You saw the doctor straight away say, oh, it's his MCL. So most of us fans seeing and hearing that is better than hearing an ACL. So yeah, no, not worried for their season. I'm more worried about how they played the week before, if that was going to continue on, than an injury. So yeah, we'll see. They're not in the top eight yet, so.
Yeah, pretty much agree with you, Georgie. Not too much to worry about. I would be interested to see though just what the reshuffle looks like for the Broncos with Reynolds out, if Walters comes into the halves, maybe in Smoothie to hook up or whatever the other options are. Maybe with if Smoothie comes into that 13, who ends up in the utility role or filling that extra spot on the bench. Just be interesting to see how that reshuffle happens. Any thoughts on what that could look like, Georgie?
They'd probably put Jock Madden in. He sits there out quietly waiting for that spot. So I think he's, and I think he works a lot with Adams. So I think Jock will slide in there. I expected him to be named. Was the first person that came to mind. You need to keep Smoothie where he is. He does a good job coming off the bench there.
I was worried about Reynolds last year, especially in the lead up to the grand final. Can't remember what match it was. I think it was at a South match. And I saw he got sort of injured and then he was sort of limping around. I think there was also a Panthers match where he was limping a bit. And you just kind of, I know, you can, like, even the grand final match, I don't know if you recall, there was just that moment where he got tackled and you could see he was just having that conversation with the trainer. Do I keep going or do I hop off? And it sort of dawned on him, no, I've got to play the rest of this match. And then he was just kind of perhaps not as he didn't inject himself as much in the game. I think he was just managing his pain. But yeah, like, people often talk about his age. I don't think his age really matters all that much. But look, whenever Reynolds isn't playing, there is often always concern about the Broncos' heavy reliance on him. I still see them as being a team that's going to make it into the top eight, and I really do hope that. So Jock Madden, yeah, I hope that he gets some really good game time over the next few weeks or however long it is that Adam's out, that he's able to, get some good game time in with the guys and just, really work on those plays, and then they can come to work with him as well, and trust him to fill that role. But yeah, they reckon it takes a few days or a week for a MCL to heal. So, well, MCL strain, that is. All right, other news. So, one that did come out, this was probably something I didn't even know or really spot until the very end of the Melbourne Storm Warriors games. But look, the Storm, they reluctantly accepted the early plea of a grade two contrary conduct charge of Jerome Hughes after the match review committee cited him for pushing the official Chris Butler in that Storm versus Warriors match. It seems as though players named Jerome are ones of recent memory that are making unwelcome contact with officials. Look, I certainly understand how officials do their very best to keep out of the way. Lachlan, I can't imagine you are one to make unnecessary, contact with official during your play. I'll start with you. So Jerome, he misses the next round match, meaning the Storm are without their halfback for the Knights match. Is this a bit harsh, missing a match, or is this what we should just come to expect with how they're being strict with the NRL?
Well, I think firstly, I should say I don't think Hughes had any poor intention in the moment. And I do think it's the right call, though. I think referee safety has got to be absolutely priority from a business standpoint. The referees are the most important people in the game, and they shouldn't be getting pushed over. He was the positioning, he got the positioning wrong, but still, you don't touch the referee. It's the first thing you learn. Yeah, that's my take on it. I think the Storm made a good decision not to push it too far and not to take that early guilty plea, because I think there's no way they would have won that. I think if they had have challenged it, it would have ended up being a 2-game suspension. Because I just think from a, I guess, philosophical standpoint by the NRL, they've got to be hard on that philosophy of protect the referees. And I don't think they can really have too much leeway there, no matter the circumstances. I'm seeing some interesting facial expressions from Georgie, so I'll pass over to her.
Oh my goodness. Butler ran backwards into him. I've watched it that many times. I totally agree with you, ref welfare, absolutely. But in this case, Jerome was watching the play. He wasn't watching where the ref was. Butler needed to get out of that line. He shouldn't have been standing there. He was totally in the wrong spot himself. And I think that, that should have been taken into consideration. But yeah, I agree with you fully. Refs and touchy is most important, and they deserve not to be. It'd be different if he actually just ran at him and knocked him over. But yeah, I after reading this question earlier this morning, I went back and watched it a few times, and yeah, Butler just shouldn't have been standing there. Simple as that. Not when they're and the player, I gotta think who had the ball running, knew that, knew where he was. He was aware of that, and he knew that Jerome was behind Butler. So he played that. He played it very well, and he knew what was going to happen. And that was me watching it all day long. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, even if you, like, it's quite possible that Hughes had literally zero idea where the referee was and didn't even know that he'd pushed him over or whatever, knocked him over. I just don't think the NRL had any other option, to be honest. Even if Hughes is not in the wrong at all, I just think that's just the decision that needs to be made just from a business like insurance. Even yeah, just it's a bit unlucky for Hughes and the Storm, but is what it is.
I think they've got more to worry about, though. That's the thing. Like they're doing this when Jerome Luai is getting off. The
Well, I
fines,
think
whatever.
Jerome was a grade one and this one was a grade two. I think that was the
Ridiculous. How does
difference.
that happen? A tripping offence should be a sin bin. So how is this? How's this working? What's going on with these rules here?
Georgie, we'll only know as the season goes on because, as we know, there's often very little consistency with some of these penalties and decisions.
It was.
Exactly. And it comes down to consistency, doesn't it? And I think that's where the NRL has just really lacked. I think even behind other sports, consistency in decisions, but you should be making sure there's consistency when it's off the field, like this, where you've got time to work it out. Like, inconsistency on the field, that's just a part of sport, but when you have time to go through these official judiciary processes and they're getting, I guess, decisions that go in such separate ways, like this Jerome Luai, Jerome Hughes thing, it's a bit hard to understand as a fan.
Yeah, look, we've also got female officials too, right? So, I mean, I think they would expect it to be a consistent decision as well if the same thing happens to them. So, I don't know, we sometimes forget that we've got a few women who are officiating on our NRL matches too. So, yeah, I think they'd appreciate the consistency. All right. So, look, we're going to stick to this neck of the woods here out west. So, Benji Marshall, look, he has come under fire. I think is probably the right way to describe it. He's got a work-life ba balance coaching style, which a few people, I think, was one particular journalist who had sort of pointed it out, like it was an issue that he wasn't doing a, he wasn't doing all the hours that some of these top coaches have been doing for a while. I mean, and really just sort of questioning his commitment and work ethic. And he said, because I prioritize my family between 5 to 8 every night to find a work-life balance, that doesn't mean I don't care about my job or care about working hard, he said. Look, I mean, are people just being a little bit too harsh on Benji? I mean, like, it's his first year as head coach for the Tigers. I think this even came out before the round one football, sorry, before round two kicked off and his team got their first touch at appearing for the NRL this season. What are your thoughts, Lachlan? I mean, do people I guess what I'm asking is, do some journalists just need to find other things to write about? Is this really newsworthy? Should we even be talking about this?
It just seems so odd. I can't understand it. How on earth can you judge a coach so personally like that after one game as the head coach, for starters? And secondly, how can you question Benji Marshall's commitment to the West Tigers? He is the West Tigers. He's what the club is. That's why he's, I think the whole fan base is so excited for him as head coach. It's like something to work towards. A vision, some like passion. It's so odd the way that the media have taken this. I also saw a headline with drawing out with a big picture of Benji's face and all the results of all the pathways and flag New South Wales Cup, and we happen to have won one out of the 7 or so games that weekend in pathways, And so they had a big scoreline of all the aggregated results. It was like 260 to 50 or whatever against us, with a big picture of Benji's face. Like, firstly, like those are my mates running around in under 17s, our main. Like, that's an odd thing to be like drawing parallels with the West Tigers. I think is a bit of a stretch. It's just not quality journalism. I think there's just, yeah, as we said, Leonie, a lot of other things that could be talked about, perhaps analysed a bit deeper instead of reaching for, I guess, the easy victim. I should say the Tigers have brought this all on themselves, by the way, over the past decade.
Georgia, you got any thoughts about this? I know work-life balance,
Yeah,
is often
well,
something they talk about when it comes to, balancing motherhood, work life. I mean, like he's a dad.
I had a career burnout myself last year, and this year I'm back to trying to have that balance, which I am very lucky to have found. And I have a job where I don't have to be committed all the time. So for him to do that, like you just said, like women do it, so why can't men do it? It's 3 hours a night where he's putting his kids to bed. He doesn't want to be that dad that goes, oh, look, this is more important. This is what, I'm going to miss out on this because it's football season. It's 3 hours. I mean, really? And then after that, you can ring him, you can text him. I think it's just been blown out of proportion, because that's not how it's been done. And I think, the old school way and the old school mentality is this is what you do when you're committed to this all the time. Doesn't work like that anymore, and the world doesn't work like that anymore. And if his players respect that, I mean, between 5 and 8, they're probably doing the same thing, putting their kids to bed. So it's 3 hours out of your night, and it's not your game day. It's not like Benji saying, "Oh, I'll be late to the game. Oh, I'll be late to training." I think the players are all okay with it, so everyone else should be okay with it. I agree with you, Lachlan. It's a rubbish story. Talk about something else, really. Get something more
Yeah.
interesting about what's going on in rugby league.
Yeah, it did feel kind of personal. Look, I reckon good on Benji. Look, he might be new to the job, but he might end up just showing the new way to actually manage and, like oversee a team like this in this role. He might end up setting a different standard for some of the other fathers who have a young family who are head coaches. I remember Steve Hansen. He's the ex head coach for the All Blacks at the very end of his career, and he was in an interview and they asked him, it's obviously a large commitment being a head coach. There's a lot of travel. There's a lot of, obviously game review and, time you spend with players. And they asked him, what do you, it's quite a significant commitment and a sacrifice. And he got quite emotional saying, that he was really sad because in order for him to give as much as he did to the team, there were perhaps a lot of things that he really missed out on in his family and children's lives. And this was the opportunity for him to, obviously, releasing that head coach role for him to actually focus on and maybe just atoning a little bit for all that time that he missed. So I don't know, maybe Benji saw that interview and thought, I don't want to be that guy who's sort of regretting missing out on my children's lives. So yeah, good on Benji.
I do just want to jump in again, Lainey, just really quickly. I think it's really unlikely that Benji is the only coach who's like doing this or experiencing this. I feel like you could write the same article about at least 50% of the head coaches if you really wanted to. You
So
went
true.
and found people to complain about it. So it's weird.
Yeah, and like I do kind of feel that, the media do like to jump on the Tigers the same as I do like to jump on the Dragons. Like the other team as well that seems to sort of come into the free for all, let's go for them, for every news report seems to be Souths as well. I just feel like there's three teams that seem to always make headlines every week. Look, it's probably a natural segue that from that topic about Benji, we go into Latrell Mitchell, who was dropping a few F-bombs post-match in that Brisbane game after going down to the Broncos. And like I think he jumped straight onto an on-field interview with the Triple M radio station, giving a pretty honest account of his performance and stirring up the role model debate again. So the NRL, the latest is, have opted not to sanction Latrell Mitchell for an expletive-laden radio interview following that loss. Look, I know we aren't fools. We know that, language can get a bit loose around players on the field and training and, many other places. I know myself, I can use rather choice language, especially if I'm upset, stressed, or annoyed. But asking the two of you, what do you expect from your professional players? Georgia, you go first.
Oh my God. This is what century we're living in. I mean, people swear. I swear. Everybody was worried my child was going to come out swearing. Yes, occasionally he does, but I have said to him, you know, that's out the back paddock, mate. We don't say that. He's on a football field. He's on the paddock. He gets called off straight away. His head's going a million miles an hour. They've just got beaten. A million things happening. And you know, the biggest thing I saw Corey Parker saying, well, he acknowledged that he swore first, but then he kept going, and this is unacceptable. So why is it acceptable, Corey, for somebody, even yourself, to be swearing while you're playing the game and we can all hear you? The kids on the fence can all hear you, all swearing, playing the game. You see the coaches on the TV in the box. We know exactly what they're saying. It's Latrell Mitchell. That's why they give a shit. Like, there we go. That's see what I mean? It just happens. That is the bottom line. If somebody in the Dolphins team had said it, would it be a big thing? If somebody and rookie in St. George, I don't know, the Bulldogs, would it be a big deal? No, because it's Latrell Mitchell. Simple as that. They love the headlines around him. Don't get look at see, you got me started on this. I thought it's just ridiculous because they're playing footy, they're blokes, they're allowed to swear. It's a sweary nation. This is what we do. We're Australian. We swear. It's just how it goes. Harden up over it. Yeah.
What about you, Lachlan? Are you
Yeah,
stepping
wasn't
off? Are you stepping off your matches, Lachlan? And when you're interviewed on the sideline there, are you throwing out some F-bombs when you guys lose?
Oh yeah, all the time I get interviewed on the sidelines by all the media at my games. Obviously, all the media training though is me. But yeah, I have to watch myself. But yeah, 100% agree, Georgie. Yeah, ridiculous. I don't think it would be such a big deal if it was anyone else. Yeah, not sure there's too much else to say.
Yeah, it's another one of these personal sort of like sort of news headlines, yeah, a little bit. Look, I get it. He has a job. He is a professional. You know, he's on television, his mum's watching, his kids are watching, you know, I understand all that, and it's also live radio. I think he even said something like, "Oh, sorry about the language," but he just kept going. But, you know, I'm a little bit conflicted. In the sense that, yes, he's the example that they're going after, but also, come on, professionals. It's not that much to just keep the language a little bit clean. Or if you don't think you can keep it clean, maybe just walk away from the microphone. Am I being too old-fashioned here?
Maybe it wasn't the awful C word, so I don't think it was they're just words. I mean, you dropped the
That
F
made it
bomb.
okay, did it,
Who doesn't?
Georgie?
Like, it's real. It's my one thing. If I'm having a conversation with someone, most of the time I don't even know that I have it in my vocabulary. It's that I just do. But if someone doesn't swear back, they make me nervous. I don't know why. I get a bit funny if they don't. I've always been like it. Yeah. It's just, you know, but being on here, look, we're professional, we don't swear in here, but for our listeners, but yeah, in general public, and like I said, his head's going a million miles an hour. It just happens. He does work out in a paddock as well, so you know, everything was happening in his head at that moment, so I don't think it's a big deal.
They also could have cut his mic off, right? If they're really unsatisfied with what he was saying. So
Yeah, and his
it
kids
was,
would have been in bed,
you hope so.
and they
Yeah.
would have heard it in the paddock, so you know.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that. We'll leave all this news behind. We're just gonna dive into something that's a little bit more entertaining. Right. We're gonna head into our round three tips. Just making sure there wasn't any other news that you wanted to cover.
Well, one for you, Luke Metcalf signing a 2-year contract with the Warriors. Happy about
Yeah, I'd be happy if he learns how to kick a little bit better. But yes, I'm
that?
happy about Metcalf signing on for another couple of years. Look, he missed two conversions on the weekend that could have squared up that game, which would have taken us to a draw. But yeah, forget about that. Next time, next time. All
And
right.
the other thing was, I did see I was looking at the Daily M's, and everybody is not happy that Nyckho Hines got the 6 points and is on top. So,
Yeah.
like all of the comments, so it's got to be a close one. But yeah, what do you guys think of that?
Who wants to go? Because, like,
Are you not a fan?
it's just like, yeah, anyway. It's always a mystery to me how they come to award these points. Every round, like even like last week when I think the Sharks in that match against against the Warriors, like Nico really got all 6 points in that match. It was just kind of bizarre. Anyway, I'm not sure. come back to me at the end of the season to see how all the other players that I think deserve it are tracking. What do you think?
Yeah, not much else to add. The Dally M's always been a bit of a mystery to me. So, yeah, to be honest, I've never really gone too into them. I don't know, maybe I will this year.
I like reading their comments, like what people think of, and exactly that, how they come up with the points each game, because we're all watching the same game, aren't we?
Do they ever reveal at the end of the season who the actual judges were? I mean, I haven't really worked that out.
No, but I do think that it is somewhere in, just off the top of my head, each game, who's picking them. I did see that somewhere. They should be calling us, really.
Kind of like awarding those questionable tries.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Oh dear me. All right, well, after round two, Nicho Hynes, he got 12 points. And like Paps also got 9, and Tommy Trbojevic got 9 points. Look, I have a feeling Pfaffenhausen, if he can stay injury free, he might be definitely a contender, especially after the way he performed in that game. Okay, thanks, Georgie. Thanks for like bringing up all this negative energy for me. Dear me. All right. Look, let's head into our round three tips. Look, it's the NRL's multicultural round, the round which recognises the unique heritage of every member of the NRL community and celebrating the cultural diversity that makes us stronger together. Now, if you didn't catch my greeting at the top of the show, that was hello in Samoan, which is my native language. And I also said hello in Māori, which is the language of the First Nations people of New Zealand, where I was born. So if you haven't already picked up or what that means, yeah, it is up the wazz for me all the time. So currently, the ladder in order from the top down to 8th place, we have Raiders, Cowboys, Sharks, Sea Eagles, Storm, Dolphins, Eels, Roosters, and the differential is what is keeping the Broncos and the Panthers respectively in 9th and 10th place. Now, we've mentioned among ourselves that it is still early in the season to get confident about our teams and tipping. It's usually around 9 rounds that we begin to see some separation along the ladder. It wasn't really what happened last year. However, it just keeps it exciting. So let's get into the round three matches and hear from each of you which team you're backing for a win and why. So the Dolphins finishing round two of football with a win over the St. George Illawarra Dragons sent those visitors home from Redcliffe Stadium with their tails between their legs. The Dolphins have the bye for round three and they're sitting at number six on the ladder. Right, let's get into it. Panthers versus Broncos. So the Penrith Panthers versus the Brisbane Broncos. I think this is the grand final rematch we've all been waiting for, possibly the match of the round for Thursday evening, kickoff at 8 o'clock in Penrith. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you going for? Is it pretty obvious?
I always tip my team, even if I think they're not going to win, I tip them regardless. Broncos. And I think they'd probably want a bit of redemption from last year from what happened. So, yeah. Hopefully they'll come out to me. I'm a bit nervous, to be the truth.
I bet you, Lachlan, you saw them up close last week. Do the Panthers look like they'll be putting Broncos away this time around? Again?
They weren't that great, to be honest, Penrith, up close. I think they've got a lot of work to do. But I think maybe this is a game where they can get a bit more comfortable with their new team, 2024. I think Brisbane have also been underperforming a little just in terms of what I've seen. I know, again, it's so hard to make these judgments so early on. We're going off so little information. Also, I just think that injury cloud around Adam Reynolds doesn't help anything for Brisbane. So I will tip Penrith. But if the past 2 weeks is anything to go off, I really should be tipping Brisbane because Georgie's definitely going to get it right. What do you think, Lainey?
I'm going to tip the Panthers because it's Panthers at home. I tend to think that they, really just show up for these big matches in front of their crowd. There was a moment I thought when the Eels were there that last round that it was just going to slip away, but obviously the crowd, got behind them and got them over the line for that win. Jeez, exciting match. These two teams, by the way, they've played 43 matches. Broncos have actually won 24 of those, and Panthers have only won 18, and they've drawn one. So the Broncos seem to have a pretty reliable sort of record against them. But yeah, last two matches, Panthers have beaten the Broncos in their last two times that they've shaped up to each other. So it should be interesting. All right. Did you guys have any margins for what this win will be for the Broncos?
No, I'm no, because in my heart I'm going for Brisbane, but I feel they'll be beaten. I do, but I'm still tipping them. I'm going to go six. Brisbane by six.
Six. All right, what about you, Lachlan? Are you going to put some numbers on this?
I'll go Penrith by 10.
Ooh. All right. I'm just hoping for a win to improve my tips. Next match on Friday evening, kickoff's at 6 o'clock. The New Zealand Warriors are coming up against, well, they're actually hosting the Canberra Raiders over there in Christchurch, actually, in New Zealand. So 6 o'clock kickoff. Who are you going after? I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you tipping for this?
This is tricky. This is really tricky. I think the Warriors, I reckon the heartbreak will spur them on this week. And in Christchurch, yeah, why not? Why not Warriors? How about you, Georgie?
Isn't it funny that none of us said anything about the Raiders and they played outstanding on the weekend? I thought I really did. I really liked how they played. And I sitting on top of the table, I mean, really? The Raiders. But we know how quickly teams fall off the top of the ladder. So I think it'll be a good game if they stay like that. But I have gone for the Warriors, just for you, Lainey.
Just for me. Nice. Okay. Well, look, because I know that the Warriors had beaten the Raiders twice last year, the Raiders, I know when they were there in New Zealand for a match, they nearly stole the lead from the Warriors. Of course, I'm going to go to the Warriors for this. Much like what you guys have said, they'll be hurting after that loss. And look, I kind of see that even though they had lost the Storm, it just gave them everything that they needed to learn how to beat the Raiders this week. So yeah, up the Waz for this week. I'm probably going to say the margin's going to be small because Raiders, like you say, Georgie, they're playing pretty well. I think they'll be looking to try and self-correct after last year because I think it was the Croker 300, and then it was another sort of later match over in New Zealand that had them come away with two losses to them. So yeah, look, if they are still burning after being given a hiding on their own territory, they'll be wanting to embarrass the Warriors in front of the home crowd in Auckland. But I'm still going Warriors in Christchurch, that is. Wait, just reflecting, are you both going for Raiders? No, you both,
They're going for the
all the
Warriors.
Warriors.
You're all going Warriors. All right, give me some margins, Lachlan.
I'm worried I'm not thinking about the Raiders enough but now. But anyway, Warriors by 8.
Cool. Okay, Georgie.
Well, I'm going 12.
Are we all just like tipping with Georgie at the moment because we're hoping to get All right, there you go. By 8, by 12. I reckon it's going to be by about 10, actually.
Split us down the middle.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so the later game on Friday, it's over at Moore Park. So we've got the Sydney Roosters versus the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I remember last year, Lachlan, we went to this match around this time of year. What do you think? Who's going to take out the win for this? Because there seems to be bad blood between these two sides. I'll start with you, Georgie, because you've got like a South supporter in your house. Who are you going for this match?
Please don't tell her I'm tipping the Roosters. I'll have to tip the Rabbits in our family one. I'm tipping the Roosters. I think the Rabbits have got there's too much going on there. I don't know. I think we talked about it earlier, or we might have in our WhatsApp about Joshy Mansour coming out and saying what he said this morning. It was one of the first TikToks I saw this morning, and I had a good giggle at that. And I think there's just so much. I mean, I'm reading in a lot with the Roosters, but there's so much at the Rabbits when you think about, Sam's departure and the level of respect some players have for JD, and how Cody is. You can see how his expression is on the field, and he's just not himself. And there's some struggles there. And I did put them in my top eight, I believe, but I really don't think they will be after seeing that. I just think they're crumbled, and I have a very heartbroken wife and. Roosters 13 plus.
Yeah, I'll agree, Georgie. Certainly no shortage of bad blood between these two teams. But yeah, from what we've seen so far, I think Roosters should be favourites. I think they've deserved that title of the first 2 weeks. But yeah, I'm excited for this game. It should be fun. It's always fun. Hopefully South's up for it. Hopefully it is close. But yeah, I will go Roosters 12 plus. What about you, Lainey?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Roosters too. Yeah, pretty much everything that you guys had said. I don't know. Rabbits. Yeah, look. I mean, if they lose this, they're gonna be three down. But look, if Warriors loses, they're kind of in the same boat too. But yeah, maybe it's because I feel that the media love to go after them, but it really does sort of penetrate a lot of what their sort of preparation is for each match. But you know, when things like this come out all the time, you at first wonder if it's just rumor, but after a while you wonder, is there something up there? You know, that's really, is there some truth to all this that's coming out? Anyway, good luck Rabbitohs, but bigger luck Roosters. So yeah, I'm also going to tip the Roosters too. Can't give you a margin though. Should be a good game to watch. I'd say, like Georgia, you said 13 plus and Lachlan, you agreed. I think it might actually be a little bit closer. I think it might probably be around 4 points. Could be a
Well,
couple of
young.
missed conversions or a penalty if you want something like that.
Well, Lachie Elise has been dumped. Dean Hawkins is coming in to replace him. Jack Whiten's coming in as his left centre. They've got a lot there that they can work with and work on. None of us actually tipped JD to be a coach to be axed, but I do think if this continues on, his head's on the chopping block. Maybe Uncle Wayne will return.
Oh no. Wouldn't that just be the juiciest of news to come out
You
of
heard it here
that?
first.
Wow. You know what? Look, no, that actually, yeah, plausible in a sense that that is high, that's possible. That is very possible. Jeez, how juicy. All right. All right. The next match, which is on Saturday, kickoffs at 3 o'clock. It's over at Balmoral Park. The Canterbury Bulldogs are taking on the Gold Coast Titans. Titans are coming off the bye. They're travelling down for this. Who are you calling for this match? I'll start with you, Lachlan.
Yeah, both rubbish teams, I think, from what we've seen. I can say that as a Tigers fan. My team is firmly in that basket as well. I think the only reason that makes me really want to watch this game is at Belmore. I think they should definitely be taking more games to Belmore, the Bulldogs. It's just such a great atmosphere. So much better than such a big, empty, echoing Acorn Stadium at Homebush. So I will tip the Bulldogs just going off how badly the Dragons did against the Dolphins and the fact that the Dragons then beat the Titans. I know you can't really rely too much on who beat who and whatever, but it's pretty much what we've got going for us. For us tipsters in the first few weeks. So, yeah, I'm going to go Bulldogs for me, but they did do okay holding the Sharks in that first half. Just really, they can't slip away like that in the second half, the Doggies. So, it'll have to be a bit more of an 80-minute performance from them. What do you think, Georgie?
Well, I agree with you. I couldn't pick with these, but I have tipped the Titans coming off a bye, and I think he's a good coach. I think he's been around the traps long enough to fix the errors from the first game. I think he'll really work on that. And again, I think the Bulldogs just can't get their stuff together. I just don't. Just they're just not clicking. There's something not right. I don't know. I only saw bits and pieces because I argue with a toddler over the weekends about watching footy. Trolls or footy is our house at the minute. So yeah, what I did see, they can't string it together for some reason. So yeah, maybe I missed the good bits.
There weren't that many good bits, Georgie. It's okay.
Cool.
I'm actually going to be tipping the Titans as well with you. Look, there's a lot of players there I really like, and you know, I feel like they had just enough time, you know, away from everyone else to really work on fixing all the issues with their game. So yeah, I'm not saying I trust Desi, but I'm trusting that the week probably helped them pull it all together. So yeah, calling for a Titans win for that one. Okay, so that was the Saturday 3 o'clock match. So later that day we've got, right? Yeah, later that day we've got the Dragons. This is over in, wait, hang on a second. Is this right? Yeah, it is. So later that day, on Saturday at 5:30, we've got the St. George Illawarra Dragons taking on the North Queensland Cowboys. The Cowboys are actually coming in the favourites for this particular match. It's over there at Jubilee Stadium. Is that Cogra Oval? Yeah, I think it is. All right, Georgie, who are you calling?
Well, I tipped the Cowboys because Archie, my three, he'll be three on Saturday actually, so I should go for them, says to us yesterday, "Oh, well, Mum goes for the horses and Ma goes for the rabbits and I'm going for the cows." So he's supposed to be a rabbit, but if he wants to be a cow, that's okay. Cowboys for Archie. I think that the Dragons, after last week, I can't see them bouncing back. They should. But geez, Tommy did and led the Cowboys so well last week. And he's just growing and growing and growing. And his team are respecting him. And it's just lovely to see. What a disappointment that he doesn't play for Brisbane anymore. They let him go. With all, just him growing. And yeah, I like what the Cowboys are doing, and I think they are mates, and they're going to do very, very well this year. And they'll be, I do think, top four after watching them, and they stay consistent like this. I think that they're just watching them. Yeah, they're mates, and that's what it comes down to.
Who you calling, Lachlan? Just before you tip, just letting you guys know that the Cowboys have beaten the Dragons the last two times they faced each other. Also, look, they've had 38 games, and the Dragons have beaten them 21 out of 38 times. So they're flying down south. We know the Cowboys don't usually travel very well. So who are you tipping, Lachlan, with that extra bit of info?
I can't tip the Dragons after last week. Like it's, you just can't. So Cowboys for me and Cowboys by 16. 16. I'm gonna be confident in that number. 16. What about you, Lainey?
Ah, oh, look, because the Cowboys don't travel very well, and we know this, like we spotted this all through last season. I'm actually going to tip the Dragons because the Dragons are hosting, and
There we go.
after making that comment, earlier that Dragons win on their territory, but they don't do well when they travel north. I'm sort of going in on that and saying that Dragons by a very small margin will win in this game. Goodbye, tipping. All right, so next game that we've got. We've got the West Tigers versus the Cronulla Sharks. Now, this game, I see here, it's happening over at Leichhardt Oval. I'm not sure, Lachlan, if you're going to be going to this. This is on Saturday evening at 7:35. Is that right? We've got three games on Saturday. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
And
that's
Cronulla,
exciting.
yeah. Jeez, I won't be doing anything on
It's
Saturday then. are you going to this Leichhardt match, or will you be going to the
Yeah.
Balmore one?
Oh, well, I was planning on doing both, going from Belmore and then bouncing over to Leichhardt with a friend, but I have actually going to end up at the net for all day Saturday and then end up at Leichhardt Oval for the night game. Yeah, so pumped to be back at Leichhardt. Been there probably already 4 or 5 times this year for junior reps and New South Wales Cup, or not Cup, but Flegg. No, not Flegg either. Junior reps.
Who are you going
But
for
yeah,
this
pretty excited.
match?
Am I going to tip?
Yeah.
I'm running a preview for this, actually, just quick plug. But I put down there because I'm being objective for Cronulla Sharks, but I feel like I can let a bit more of my personality shine through. And even if I do that over that podcast, I still can't justify tipping the Tigers. So I'll go Sharks by quite a bit. Yeah. People make out like Leichhardt Oval is some kind of fortress for the Tigers or something. It hasn't. I can hardly remember us winning there. I mean, we beat the Cowboys last year, but yeah, it doesn't make a difference, to be honest. Great atmosphere, but it doesn't change our team's performance. I think Cronulla should run all over us, and I think I'd be very worried for the Sharks if they didn't. What do you think, Georgie?
Well, I love how real you are about your team and honest, and you can just put all that out there. That's great. It really is great. I did, yes, tip the Sharks. I think they're on a bit of a roll. The Tigers are still, yep, again, a team that's rebuilding and trying to figure it all out and who's going to be where and do what. There were good signs from them the other day. I mean, they were close. They had a bit of a crack. So they keep working with that. Back into the season, if you get players from the bigger teams that are up the top that are injured, that are they're great players, there's no reason why the Tigers can't get it together and win a few games. Any team can do that. Mindset, really, isn't it? But yeah, Sharkies by 13 plus.
Yeah, sounds about right. I should say just quickly, both of the past two matches have ended 36-12,
I
which I
was.
think is a very odd statistic.
I
Did
was
you guys
wondering
see that? Did
whether,
I see
just
that?
by some luck, yeah, they'd finish up with the same score.
Yeah, that'd be funny, eh? What do you reckon, Lainey?
You know me, Tigers are a soft spot, but I think the Sharks are going to take this. I'm going to rescue my tips here. But yeah, look, Sharks are looking pretty good. I mean, if Nicho Hynes keeps going out and winning 6 points for every single game that he turns up for, obviously he's going to play a great match for this. Tigers, it was a bit unusual last week, and there were so many sort of changes around with the team. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to go for the Sharks. All right. Sunday match. Sunday's always a weird day. Things, all the strange things seem to happen in NRL and on for Sunday matches. So the first match is actually between the Parramatta Eels versus the Manly Sea Eagles. The Eels are going to be hosting this match. It's at 4:05 in the afternoon over at Western Sydney Stadium. Eels, they are the favourites for this. It's not often that Manly make their way that far south, although, they still have yet to go to Penrith. Who are you calling for this particular match? I'll start with you, Lachlan.
I'm going to tip Manly. I think they've earned that the first few weeks. Perhaps Eels maybe look a tad better on paper. I definitely would have tipped Eels if this was a round one game. But I do think Manly have started the season well. And yeah, I'll stick with that. Manly by 8. What do you reckon, Georgie?
Yeah, I think this should be a good game, how the Eels have been playing, how Manly's been playing. I did miss the Eels, sorry, the Manly Roosters game, and they didn't repeat it. I couldn't watch it. I only saw the match highlights. And they look like they've got it all together, don't they, Manly? Having Turbo back at the back. And yeah. And yes, I'm one of those people that don't like Manly, but they're playing very well. So I reckon Manly by 4. Like I really think the Eels will put it to them. Yeah, maybe it's my match of the round, that one. Maybe I'll put.
Oh, match the round. Wait,
Yeah, I
number
think.
two after the grand final rematch for the first match.
Yeah, that's a bit scary, but you know. Yeah,
Okay,
match.
fair.
That'll be my match of the round. I'll go with. Stick with that by 4.
All right. I'm going for the Eels. Eels venue, they'll probably be like quite annoyed after that loss to the Panthers last week, and they probably thought they gave it everything, and they probably still have it in their head that they could actually beat Manly. If there's a giant in this round that this far along in the season to topple, that's a pretty good scalp in their minds to take. Also, I think having a look at this, there's a better winning record for the Eels there. I think between the two of them, they're kind of 50-50 in terms of wins, like results with each other. Yeah, the last two matches, I saw Eels had actually beaten Manly, but before that, it was a very close match between the two of them very early in the year, around this time of the year too. So it should be a thriller. I think you're calling a pretty good take there that this is going to be a match of the round to watch. Right, final match when things tend to go a bit awry. This is where teams come away and put like a 38-nil score on others. It's the Newcastle Knights versus the Melbourne Storm. It's going to be over in Newcastle. It's 6:15 in the afternoon, which is a great time to play. Who are you calling for this, Georgie? Is it going to be a Newcastle win or is it going to be a Melbourne Storm win?
On the back of last week, I was tipping the Storm. On reflection, the Knights are poking along quietly, but I still think the Storm by 8. Yeah, I don't think it'll be a big scoring game from either. And you know, Newcastle at home, that crowd gets in there, even though it is Sunday night. That crowd gets in there and supports their team. They might back them home. But yeah, no, Storm by 8. There you,
Yeah, I
Lachlan.
think that sounds about right. Yeah, Storm for me. I think they got their tricky win last week, and now they've entered the swing of things. And yeah, I reckon Storm by 10 or so. What do you reckon, mate?
Well, I just wanted to ask. Look, I don't spend a whole lot of time like examining the Storm team, but who comes in for the missing halfback? Yeah, like who's their second string now that Xavier's not Xavier, Jerome?
Don't know.
Is it Pezzett?
Yeah, like look, I don't know whether Munster's going to be well enough to come back. They often talk about how he makes a difference. I mean, we're recording on a Monday, and they don't usually sort of list the team until Tuesday, so it'd be interesting to see if Munster's sort of named on the side. They'll probably sort of shuffle players around. But yeah, look, I think with some certainty we could say it'll be the Storm. But I think I'm going to go for Knights because they're not. I don't think they'll be making too many changes. I don't remember too many injuries coming out of their last match. In fact, the only injury I could recall is perhaps their bruising ego after that 1-point loss. So now I think they'll be gunning for a win, especially in front of a home crowd. So yeah, I'm going to go after the Knights for this one. Couldn't give you a margin, but it'll probably be another 1-pointer. Goodness, probably. All
Yeah, could be.
right, that's it. Those are our matches. Thank you both. That's our show, everyone. Lachlan, Georgie, many thanks for your insightful contributions on the show today. Congratulations also, Georgie, for a nearly perfect round of tipping. Looking forward to see if you achieve the same next week. I can see already looking
Right.
back through here that you and Lachlan are kind of tipped very similarly, and I'll probably be rethinking all of my tips at the end of the round. All right. Well, thank you, Lachlan, and thank you, Georgie.
Thanks, Lainey.
Thank you, Lainey.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Georgie.
Lachlan.
And thank you, listeners. If you're going to go to any of the matches, be safe, take care, and have fun. We really appreciate you tuning in. And we'll catch you all next week. And thanks for joining us again on the Mojo Sports NRL Show.